This Remote Office.fm, a weekly co-working show, episode number 8. I'm your host, Lima Hayati. If you have a plan to go to East Europe, especially Serbia, make sure to stop by at Mokrin House. Mokrin House is co-working and co-living space located in the north of Serbia. It's a perfect place for freelancers, entrepreneurs, and digital nomads, or for people who just want to focus on their project. Enough from my side, let's hear more from their project leader, Ivan Berkljač.
My name is Ivan. I am running the co-working and co-living space Mokrin House. It's a rural co-living space where people from all around the world come and focus on their work. What I like to call, we're an ideal place for deep work, meaning that when you come here, you're positively isolated and you can really focus on whatever your projects are, whether you're alone working on your projects or with a small team. We have an international community location independent professionals, and that's pretty much like the intro of who I am, what we do in a nutshell here.
So first, you founded the Mokrin House. When and how you started? I mean, from where you got the idea and inspiration?
It was interesting, actually, Pat, because the house, the estate, was a family-owned estate, and we used it mostly for our private purposes. But then we realized we're not spending enough time here. Let's open it up a little bit for the local community, so we can organize some cultural events and some educational, motivational cultural events. And the Mokrin House as a project was founded in May of last year. But before that, there was things happening around, in the sense that we had some workshops, festivals, team buildings for companies and stuff like that. But in May 2000, and actually the story takes a turn somewhere in November 2015, where I go to the co-working conference in Milan, and I was a freelancer before that. And in a European co-working conference in Milan, I listened to a talk that the owner of Hubud, a co-working space in Bali, did. And I remember precisely sitting in the audience and connecting the dots that they said, we have a remote space, we have a large community, more than 450 events per year. And at that talk, like, I had that aha moment where I was like, we have the space, we have the staff, we could definitely organize a co-living retreat in Mokrin House. So in May 2016, we launched the website. In June of the same year, we had our first co-workers. And it was really interesting, the whole path, that now we're in our second year, and we have grown to a very, we have grown out of proportion that we didn't expect. So definitely there's an industry and there's the market for this type of service and product.
First pilot event, how is it? Is it successful from and the development until now? Is it growing bigger and bigger?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, we just compared like last year's August, which is now we're in like our high season. And we just compared the events and the amount of people that we had last year and this year. And it is like literally several-fold larger than it is right now. Actually, we are at the moment considering ways how we can do expansion, since the capacities, our accommodation capacities are not enough for us anymore. So we are looking into models in which we can expand into the village even further. At the moment, we have capacities for up to 40 people, but our goal is that next year we may actually increase it up to 100, and then hopefully within 5 to 7 years to 300 beds, which would mean that we will be the first actual global village in the world, and that is definitely our mission.
That's great. Is it you buy the house, you buy the land, or you rent it?
This land is and the estate on it is owned by us. However, we are thinking of different models of how we're going to expand. It might be some sort of partnership agreements, some sort of leases. We'll definitely see how we'll do that. But yeah, at the moment, everything that all the land that Mokran House is located on, it's privately owned.
Oh, okay. From the airport till the Mokran House, how is it? Is it easy to?
There are three main airports that are relatively nearby Mokran House, and these are Timisoara, which is 1 hour away, Belgrade, which is 2 hours away, and Budapest Airport, which is 2.5 hours away. To all of these airports, we organize transports, transfers for all our guests that need that kind of service. And yeah, so I think we're very well located because we are in a rural surroundings. However, the connectivity to us to get to us is not that difficult.
So you just need to sign up and accept it and pay and done.
That's
you landed.
Up on a plane and we'll be waiting for you.
Wow, that's cool. What typically demographic people who came to Mokran House look like?
So it's a very international crowd. Normally they're young professionals, like the medium age is somewhere around 31, 32. But we have people that are 25 to 40 or something. That is like the span that it goes to normally. Normally they are either couples or singles. We had a couple of examples of families, but not that much really. Normally they are in individuals or couples, and they either come in small teams or as complete individuals. So like dominantly we have a lot of Americans coming in, because Americans are the ones who were the first movers in this particular industry. And they're very flexible. The American workforce is very agile in adapting to the new ways of how the future work actually looks like. Some say, some predictions, for example, that Forbes made was that by 2025, 60% of the American workforce will be hired as freelancers, meaning that the proportion of that group and the number of people that are going to be digital nomads and location independent is definitely going to rise. So as they are the first movers in the whole industry, I would say the dominant group that visits us are Americans, but we had more than 30 nations visit us here. Actually, now it's even more than 40, I think. And so it's a very diverse international crowd.
When people staying at Mokran House, did they also having interaction with the local community?
Yes, definitely. There are two main pillars of what we do as a business. And because we want to create the first actual global village, that means revitalizing the current village as it is and integrating that with what we think is the new way the village should be formed in the future. So a lot of events that we do are just for the members of our estate, and then other events that we do are just for the local community, and then there are events that are like a symbiosis between the two. So for example, every Wednesday during the summer month, we have an open-air cinema, which means that locals come in for free, watch like some of the award-winning films that we have the rights to show here. And at that particular moment, our co-workers and our members of our co-living space are here as well. And after every, for example, projection, there's a discussion and stuff like that, so they can, you know, interact. We do a lot of these events that, you know, like incorporate the locals and the members, so that they can get to know each other. You know, even at our own co-living space, several businesses were started together, but may I say even several relationships, like even, you know, like intimate relationships between, and some of them were between locals and the people who were our members.
Cool. Are you bootstrapping or you got investor backing?
No, it's a privately run thing. So
okay.
In the future, when we reach a tipping point where we might need that kind of like an extreme growth, we might consider it. But at the moment, everything is privately run.
In your opinion, is it better to open rural area or in urban city? And how's overall market demand look like? Especially in Serbia?
I think it depends on what your goals are. Like, because the co-working industry in general, if you want to make money in it, you're probably not in the like best industry for that, because there's industries in which it makes much more sense to invest and you're going to get a quicker return on investment. This is something that I think that all the people that I've met in this industry, they're extremely passionate about the community. And what I like about rural communities is that when you are in a rural surroundings, you get to know the people much, much quicker than you would in urban settings. Because when you're in a city, everybody has their own plans and everybody has their own group of friends. And the co-working space is merely a spot you go to work. However, here we are a co-living space, meaning that we are interacting with each other on several different layers and levels. So it's not only like as co-workers would in a company or in a co-working space. Here we share a glass of wine, some laughs, we watch movies together, we cook together sometimes. We interact with each other on a human level that is, I think, exceeding the level of interaction that happens in urban co-working spaces. So in my opinion, because my mission, personal and our company mission, is to revitalize this particular area, it makes more sense for me to open a rural co-living space. For somebody else, it might be a different thing. So I think it's entirely dependent on the mission of the person who's running the project.
Okay. What type of marketing program that you've done so far? Are you only targeting in certain market?
Our entire marketing strategy is based on two main things, which is digital marketing and word of mouth. This is like the best way we can communicate our message, because most of our members are digital savvy and use some sort of technology to operate in their particular markets, in their particular jobs. So our strategy is to reach out to them via digital channels, whether that is social, Google platforms, any platform that allows us to get to them, and then like the word of mouth, because people who have been our guests tend to become our ambassadors, and they are traveling the world, living like digital nomads. In many cases, we get emails saying, I've heard from this and that person about Muffin House. I'd like to stay for a few weeks, for a few days. So I think those are the two main ways we market ourselves.
By the way, for the price, is it different when summer or when winter?
We don't have a seasonal pricing. We have three levels of accommodation, and that is the only difference within our price range. So all of our guests get the same facilities, same amenities. Everything is the equal. It's just the level of pricing. It's because we have three levels of room. One is on the budget, so like dorm rooms, hostel type rooms. One are standard rooms, and then we have like premium comfort rooms. And that is the only difference. There's no different prices in the seasons, and there are no, because we offer basically package deals, in the sense that all our prices include a co-working space. They include three meals a day and accommodation. So because we're in a rural surrounding, we can't really have an easy, it's not as easy to get like food around here. It's, so we provide for everything pretty much.
What's unique selling point that you offer to people who came to Mokrin House?
I think it's definitely because we're in a rural surrounding, we provide you a spot that you can do your deep work. We are different in that particular sense that we are a very modern space in a rural surrounding, which is unique for the in the entire world. There are some co-working, co-living spaces that are in rural settlements, but none have this type of architecture, facilities that we provide, and the services that we like to include in that. And we think that we provide a 5-star service, 21st century modern service in a very antique looking old rural surrounding.
Last question. What's your future plan of Mokrin House?
The future plan is definitely expansion, reaching the level that we have at least 300 beds in the whole village, meaning that we actually make an influence and a stamp on the village. So the plans are expansion, and we're hoping to reach them in 5 to 7 years. And yeah, we'll see exactly how that unfolds. We have some big plans, thinking about trying to get this zone to become a technology unregulated zone. We'll see about how that will unfold, if that is a possibility, because that depends on the laws of the countries, and we're trying to figure out a way to do it.
Visa but, and everything.
Yes, but so we are, our goal is to think that whenever you want to think, I want to go somewhere rural, eat really good organic food, really focus on my work, but not lose anything the 21st century has brought us technology-wise. We want everybody in the world who is in the digital nomad community to think of Mocker House as a first-stop solution.
Maybe I could go. Okay, thank you so much for joining Remote Office Show today. Thank you so much, Ivan. It was really incredible story. You can follow him on Twitter at Ivan_Berklagh, BRKLGAC. Or you can also follow us at Remote Office School.